Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemne Parish Church. A warm welcome to all who are here, who are regular visitors here for the first time, for the fifth time, the eighth time, however many times you've been here. We're so glad to have each and every one of you join us for worship today. A warm welcome to all who are watching online via our streaming service, especially friends at Littlewood Court and throughout the village as well. And to all who are watching on catch up, we're so glad to have each and every one of you join us to be part of God's people together as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Just a few short intimations to share at the start of our time. First of all, I would like to say a huge and heartfelt thank you to everyone who helped keep things going here in our worshiping life while I was away in the United States with my family for a few weeks. It was a precious time to have with extended family, treasured memories, especially for our four-year-old son, who truly made himself at home in every place that he went to, whether they wanted him to or not. But it was a very meaningful trip. So again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you to all who helped keep things going in our absence. It's much appreciated. When I woke up this morning, I half blearily with jet lag was looking at my Facebook feed, and somebody posted that today is World Communion Sunday. World Communion Sunday. This is a day in the church's year, the first Sunday in October, where churches around the world partake in communion as a sign of their unity and togetherness as God's people. And I have to, full confession, this was not on my radar when it was agreed to have communion today. So that, we'll call that a providential act of the Spirit. So this is a day when we remember that as Christians, we have so much more in common than not with our fellow Christians around the globe. And I think it's a good reminder that we must never let our own petty squabbles and divisions stop us from pursuing our Lord's mandate that we as believers be one with each other, as Jesus himself is one with the Father. So as we partake of the elements today, I would encourage each of us to prayerfully remember our unity with believers across the world and throughout time and space. We believe in the communion of saints. Yes? What a powerful reminder we have with us today. The last intimation I'd like to share is next Sunday, the 9th of October, we'll have a very special service led by our good friend, the Reverend Lorna Murray. So Lorna's going to be with us next Sunday for a special service, and there'll be more details shared about that on our church Facebook and other mediums throughout the coming week. So stay tuned for more information, but we look forward to welcoming Lorna next Sunday for worship here in Kemne Parish Church. Well, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as we prepare our minds and hearts for worship by singing our opening song together, My Jesus, My Savior.
I want to praise the wonders of your mind. Let us join together in prayer. Father God, as we come here this morning to worship you and to join together in Holy Communion, we thank you for our freedom so to do. We thank you for the safe return of our minister and friend Joshua and his family. We ask your hand on them as they settle back into their life here amongst us. The beauty of your creation is all around us, Lord, and we see your majesty everywhere. And yet we, as a race, are destroying your creation on a rapidly increasing scale. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to do better, individually and as nations, to put things right. We get things wrong in our personal lives too, Lord. We ask your forgiveness for these many times. We are assured through your word of your forgiveness, and we are comforted by this. Although we don't see them brought forward in church anymore, we bring our monetary offerings to you, Lord, for your blessing. We ask your blessing on our efforts to use this money, along with our gifts of time and of our talents, for your work here and further afield. We close with lines of praise from the great hymn. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen.
Was that a musical amen right there? Thank you, Rita. Well, I just got a text from Heather just now, and she's at home watching the service with our son, and our son, who is very jet-lagged, just said, turn off Daddy. I want to watch a show. What a way to inspire confidence before preaching a sermon, right? All right. Proof that children are precious and brutally honest. But we give thanks for the children in our church. And today in Sunday school, our children are looking at a very important story that Jesus is telling, the story and a parable of the Good Samaritan. And I won't say too much about it because we'll want to steal the thunder from over in the church center. Sarah's shaking her head, but I'm not going to anyways. But I think this is one of the most important stories in the entirety of the Bible, the story of the Good Samaritan, right? It's one of these stories we need to let hit us again and again, because this story reminds us that there is nobody, we can never write anybody off completely, right? There's always hope. God's love and power and transforming touch can reach anybody. You know, in the story of the Good Samaritan, who does the Good Samaritan represent? The answer is, in Sunday school, the answer is always Jesus. That's right. And in this beautiful story, the Good Samaritan, Jesus, reaches out to a sworn enemy, binds up the wounds, takes him to an inn, has him cared for. And it's a powerful reminder to us as Christians that no matter how we have been wronged by someone, no matter how we might feel about somebody, that the person who everybody is made in the image of God, everybody is worthy of love and respect and us showing Christ's love. So I encourage us this week to be like the Good Samaritan and to be reckless in showing love to those we meet and be willing to accept that reckless love in return. Now we continue with singing our next song, our children's song, and after we sing this, our kids can be excused over to the church center for Sunday school. So we sing together, Stand Up, Clap Hands. This sounds like an active song.
Oh, The reading today is from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Encouragement to be faithful. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Joyce. Continue in worship with singing our next song of praise to the Lord. O Jesus, I have promised. Gracious and loving God, as we listen for your voice, as we listen to your word speak to us, we pray for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit to fall on each of our lives. As we hear your word proclaimed, may your truth shine forth. May you change each of us from one degree of glory to the next, making us more and more like Jesus Christ. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength, the hope, and the redemption of all who place faith in you. Amen. I want to start today with a question. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? And I have to admit, there are many, many good, true ways to answer this question. What does it mean to be a Christian? And with apologies to our tech and AV team, because I just decided to do this, I'm going to grab the lapel mic real quick. What does it mean to be a Christian? What do we think? What?
Love.
To love? Yeah, absolutely. What else? What does it mean to be a Christian?
Trust in Christ.
Trust in Christ. Ooh, good answer.
Jesus in our lives.
To have Jesus in our lives. Yeah? Anybody else? What does it mean? To believe in God. To believe in God, right? Okay, I'm hearing a lot of really good answers. What does it mean to be a Christian? What else? Follower of Christ. Ah, okay. Those are all very good answers. And if we were over in Sunday school at the church center, I would give all those answers top marks. Top marks. And I have an answer of my own, and it touches on so many of the things that we said here today. But when I was thinking about this question the other day, what does it mean to be a Christian? I came up with, a Christian follows and worships Jesus and is not ashamed of the gospel. That's what I came up with. Now, everything else that was said today is spot on. Great. But a Christian follows and worships Jesus and is not ashamed of the gospel. Okay, and now for another question, and this one's just a show of hands, right? You're really going to love this question, I promise. Who here has ever felt shame? Raise your hands if you've ever felt shame before. Who here has ever been ashamed of someone else or of yourself? Yeah, right. I'm not going to ask for specifics, don't worry. Right? I'm willing to say that at one point or another, every single one of us has experienced shame, either at ourselves, at someone else, or perhaps shame at some sort of situation in the world around us. Right? Going back to the lapel mic, Daniel. Apologies. Thank you. When we read through the pages of Scripture, especially the book of Genesis, we see that shame was not originally part of God's creation. Everything that God made was what in Genesis? Good, right? I like how Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, the message, the paraphrase of the Bible, how he puts Genesis 1:31, where he says, God looked over everything he had made, and it was so good, so very good. In Genesis 2, after the creation of men and women, Adam and Eve, the text tells us, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. They become one flesh, right? And then the text says, and the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not what? Ashamed, right? They were not ashamed. Creation was good. They were not ashamed. So far, so good, right? So where did shame come from? How did shame and being ashamed become part of our human experience, according to Scripture? We can turn again to Genesis for an answer, specifically to chapter 3 of Genesis and the account of the fall, or as you folks call it, autumn. That was a bad joke, and I fully blame the jet lag for that one. We look at the account of the fall, and we know this account pretty well, don't we? I see some of you enjoyed that joke, by the way. I know who you are. But in the account of the fall, the serpent approaches the man and the woman and challenges God's stern warning against eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And the man and the woman, they succumb to temptation, and bam, absolute catastrophe. In the event of the fall, creation is thrown into complete chaos. Rather than being in full, complete, and good relationship with God, Genesis 3 tells us that after they ate of it, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife, they hid themselves. They hid themselves. What a tragic statement. From the Lord among the trees of the garden. The Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? And the man said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So in this text, we see the immediate consequence of sin and rebelling against God is the experience of shame. Right? The man said, I was afraid. I realized I was naked, and so I hid myself. That's shame. And this text, I think, teaches us a powerful truth about human nature as a whole, that to some degree, every single one of us is locked in a battle with shame. So many of our behaviors and our values are based on a desire to avoid shame. Shush you. My watch talks to me. In our world, many cultures are built on this urge to avoid shame, right? Some cultures refer to this as saving face, yeah? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And we might want to believe otherwise, but Christians, we are not exempt or immune from this battle with shame. If anything, we might wrestle with it even more, right? So this brings us to the primary text that Joyce read for us today, to 2 Timothy 1, 1-14. Now, it's widely believed that this particular letter was written near the end of Paul's ministry, and it could even be possibly the last epistle, the last letter that Paul actually wrote. So, and in these short 14 verses that Joyce read for us, we remember what topic, what, guess what topic comes up twice? That's right, it's not a trick question. The topic that comes up is shame, right? We look at the entirety of 2 Timothy, and we'll see that Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, a younger pastor who Paul calls my dear son. And the content of this letter, especially these opening verses, suggests that Timothy's ministry was anything but sunshine and daisies. If anything, Timothy was going through a rough patch, to put it mildly, in his own ministry. And the grinding pressures and heavy weights of ministry were really wearing on Timothy. And Paul wrote this letter to encourage his younger friend to continue in the way of Jesus Christ. And if I could summarize this passage in one phrase, it would be, "Do not be ashamed," Paul tells Timothy. Throughout this passage, Paul is encouraging Timothy not to be ashamed of Jesus or of our life and service to him. Now, it might seem obvious that we should never be ashamed of Jesus, right? But we are under constant pressure to live as if he is not at the center of our lives. We are pressured to live as if Jesus is something less than the most important, the most central, the most foundational, fundamental part of our lives. Throughout every day and every week, we face constant pressure, constant temptation to live by different creeds, especially those that flatly contradict the gospel. We hear things like, "Look out for number one." We've heard that before, yeah? "I deserve to be happy." We hear that a lot, right? "That's not my problem." We hear that a lot too, don't we? Yeah? We notice how all of these false creeds are so incredibly self-centered. Yeah? Now, hardly any of us will ever be in the position of someone like the Apostle Peter, who openly and blatantly denied Jesus and was ashamed of Jesus three times after the Lord was arrested, right? For most of us, the pressure to be ashamed of Jesus, to make him something less than the Lord and center and foundation of our lives, this pressure will be far more subtle, like a gentle lapping of a wave that over time ever so gradually erodes our faith. Now, in my view, the only way to resist this subtle pressure to be ashamed of Jesus, to deny his lordship, is to overtly hold fast to Jesus Christ. Hold fast to Jesus Christ in our lives. We hold fast to the message of his cross, for that was and is the means of our salvation. We hold fast to our Lord's plan, even when it brings discord and division and difficulty in relationships. We hold fast to his plan, for only God's plan can bring about true healing and salvation. We hold fast to Christ's people, each other, for even when Christians are strange or difficult or they just flat out drive you bonkers, because the Holy Spirit makes the church Jesus' witness and loving megaphone to the world, we hold fast as well to fellow believers. We hold fast to his cross. We hold fast to his plan. We hold fast to his people. We need all of these things. We hold fast to Jesus in every way that we can. Only Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit can keep us grounded in the daily life of faith. This makes me think of one of my favorite hymns, and I'll confess I have a lot of favorite hymns, but this one's one of my favorite hymns. It's okay to have favorites within favorites, right? And this is made especially popular by the Boys Brigade. "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?" Let's carry on. "We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Friends, brothers and sisters, Jesus is our one true anchor and our one true hope. Nothing else in life can keep us grounded as God's people. Nothing else. And in just a few moments, we're going to share this sacrament of communion together. It's a sacred meal. In the early church, the earliest Christians, our earliest brothers and sisters in the Lord, they called this a love feast. A love feast. I quite like that. This table and these elements are tangible reminders that we are all new creations in Jesus Christ. And taking of communion together reminds us that our shame, our sin, our brokenness, our mistakes, they have all been removed from us by God as far as the east is from the west. And having just traveled halfway around the world, I can affirm that's a long, long way. So as we prepare to share in this sacrament together, may the Holy Spirit help all of us to never be ashamed of Jesus, to hold fast to him, to hold fast to his cross, to hold fast to his plan, to hold fast to his people, and to the unfailing promises of the gospel. Let us never be ashamed of Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue in worship now with singing our next song of praise, Jesus Calls Us or the Tumult. Said at the start of this service, today is Communion Sunday. It's also a very special Communion Sunday, in that this is World Communion Sunday. who said the day when we remember our unity and our fellowship with believers all around the world today, in every time zone, in every place, we celebrate our unity as followers of Jesus Christ. And there's a great imagery for our unity given to us in John Calvin's writing, the great reformer, where he considers the bread of the communion. And he talks about how the bread is made up of many grains mixed together for one loaf. And that's the kind of unity we're meant to have. We're meant to be, as Christians, like the grains of the bread mixed together with others to form together the body of Christ. Everyone here is welcome to take part in communion today. Whether you've been a person of faith for 100 years, or you've been a person of faith for 5 minutes, you are welcome to take part in communion today. There is room at this table for all who desire to love, follow, and know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Here in Kemne, we take communion together. We do that first by distributing the bread. We hold it until all have been served, and then we take it together. We do the same with the cup. We distribute the cup until everyone has one, and then we hold it and take it together, again as a sign of our unity. And this bread and this cup, they are anchor points for our lives as Christians. They keep us grounded in the good news of Jesus Christ. They remind us as well of our baptism, of our being grafted in to the covenant of grace. So as we gather around this table, we pray for a true sense of unity with God, with each other, and with the church that is throughout the world. And may partaking of this sacrament today, may it inspire us anew to live out our faith in our broken and hurting world, so that others around us will come to know and trust in the goodness and love of Jesus Christ in their own lives. So if you're willing, please now join with me in the responsive call to the table. Come to this table, not because we must, but because we may. Not because we are strong, but because we are weak. Come not because any goodness of our own gives us the right,
but because we need mercy and help.
Come because we love the Lord a little
and would like to love him more.
Come because he loves us
and gave himself for us.
Come and meet the risen Christ,
for we are his body.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for inviting us to know you and to be in fellowship with you through Jesus Christ our Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray that you will draw us now into your presence. We pray that these gifts of bread and the cup will be for us true signs of Christ's body and blood. By partaking of this meal together, we pray that you would draw us into further and deeper unity with you, with each other, and with Christians throughout this world. And as a sign of our yearning for unity with you and with each other, we now join our voices together, praying the words that the Lord Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hear now the words of institution, faithfully recorded for us by Paul the Apostle. He writes, For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, the Lord Jesus also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And in response to Christ's saving actions for us, we joyfully declare together, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Friends, brothers and sisters, fellow saints, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for each of us. Take and eat in remembrance of Jesus.
Remember, he drank this cup that all may enter.
This cup represents the new covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all. May the true and lasting peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Let us now show each other a sign of Christ's peace. Let us pray. God of all hope, all compassion, all justice, in this time, we, your people, we lift up before you the needs of this world. On this day, we pray especially for the continued fighting in Ukraine, for the unprovoked thuggery of Vladimir Putin. On this day, we pray for the countless numbers of innocent people, for those who have had to flee their homes, their country, and who long and who yearn for the day when they can return and rebuild. We pray as well for the people in Russia who speak up against unprovoked violence and war and who have been arrested for speaking up. We pray that you will give them strength and courage and true justice as they speak against what is false and stand up for what is right. On this day, we lift before you as well all who are concerned about the state of the economy throughout the world and especially here in the UK. We pray for all people who are concerned and worried about paying bills, who feel they have to choose between heating and eating. We pray for businesses in our local communities who are struggling to keep going, who wonder how they're going to pay their employees a fair and equitable wage. In this time as well, we pray for your church, Lord, that in these difficult and unpredictable times, that we as your people will stand firm upon your word, that we will hold fast to faith in you, and live out that faith by loving and caring for those who are around us. We pray for all those who serve at the various levels of our government. We pray for our monarch, for King Charles III, that you grant him wisdom and insight. We pray for our Prime Minister and for all members of Parliament in Westminster. We pray for our First Minister and members of Scottish Parliament in Edinburgh. May those charged with the mantle of leadership always remember the call to service and the call to protect the most needy and vulnerable. We pray for the sick, for all those who are struggling with illness. We pray for all those who look after them. We pray for all who are suffering with issues of mental health, especially our youth and our young people, whose mental health is so terribly compromised and damaged by the constant barrage of social media. We pray for those today who are grieving the loss of a loved one and are being forced to adapt to a life that they never envisioned. God of all hope, you who frames our faith and upholds us with a loving hand, we put into your hands our prayers for healing and for comfort. We pray in this time, now, in the silence of our own hearts, for those people, those circumstances that are nearest and dearest to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've shared this story many times before, but I like repeat stories. This last hymn, one of my teachers in seminary was fond of saying that this last hymn summarizes the whole of the gospel and what it means to be a Christian. And so we sing together now, When We Walk With the Lord.
Yeah.
As we go into another week together, may we never, ever be ashamed of Jesus. May we hold fast to his cross. May we hold fast to his plan. May we hold fast to his people. And in so doing, may we bear true witness to his love, his mercy, and his grace. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing rest upon each of us and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore. Amen.